Blog Talk Radio.
Our show Family Power Hour, and this is the first show for 2014. We are a show dealing with divorce, trauma, pain, alimony, children, all the good stuff in life.
Yeah.
And
about empowerment, empowering families to make them
absolutely
stronger.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And since this is the first show this 2014, how was your holiday, Sheena?
My holiday was fabulous. I took some time off. A long overdue to spend with my little ones, had a good time, ended the break with seeing the ballet Sleeping Beauty with my big girl.
Yeah, so I saw
cool.
Each other. The Facebook, very, very nice.
It was very, very
cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What did you do?
How was your Christmas?
Christmas was beautiful. I had family over and we enjoyed the Christmas tree and we played this game called Yankee Trader and it was a lot of fun.
When you were there, did you kiss?
Good for you. And my daughters.
You know, I'm Jewish, so I didn't celebrate Christmas, but I love Christmas. I love the decoration. I love the light. I love to see it. Something about the song. It's so important, you know, that. And it was amazing. The break, it was, okay. We did a lot of episodes last year. One that I really remember, it was about the social media. You remember
stuff. Yes. It was the cyberbullying and making sure children are safe when they're on the internet and what age should they be when they start Facebook. It was a great beginning of our show.
And another one was how you can be a supermama.
Superwoman, where we think we can do everything for everybody all the time.
Do you think it's a myth that it's a superwoman or not? Do you think it's a myth, Penny?
I think a lot of women are superwomen.
We are superwomen.
Yeah. I mean, most of the women I know are superwomen.
And one sitting just next to us. One of the episodes was with the pea flag.
Oh, yes.
It was really powerful. And a human...
The one I was going to mention, the human trafficking, which was an impactful show, which really taught us how to protect our children at a very vulnerable age in Broward County. Surprising how much was happening here in Broward.
Yeah. And, of course, blended family.
Yes. That was a hot topic.
We were planning, and during the holiday, I was thinking about all the show. They have a blended family. If they listen to the archive, they listen to Yvonne Haas and get all the good advice, how to think about the children.
How to make it work.
Yeah, how to make it work.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, they're going to need to see you because after the holiday, most of the people think, you know what, the holiday's over, it's nice to get divorced.
Yeah, sometimes after the holidays, we family lawyers are in a deluge of people calling and saying, okay, get it over with.
It's enough.
That is a possibility.
It's enough.
Yes.
But it was a great topic, and I'm sure this year is going to be an amazing topic.
I'm so excited
about family. And for you, if you have any idea that it's something you want to listen and you want interesting, just send us a request via Family Power Facebook. And, of course, you can call.
You can call Sheena Benjamin Wise, your family law attorney here in Broward County. You can call me at 954-783-9737. You can also email me at sbwise@wiselawoffice.com.
As usual, I don't remember your number.
954-783-9737. 9737.
All right. I hope everybody...
And how could everybody get in contact with you?
It's a good question.
Dr. Julie Eisenberg, a clinical psychology and family therapist here in Boca. And you can reach me at 561-271-7106. And Dr. B. Eisenberg at gmail.com. And I have a Twitter account, but I'm not using
it.
So Christina, because I don't know. And but you know what? Let's talk about the weather. You know, it was freezing and it was really cold. It's Florida.
Right.
So, but
yeah, we're not supposed to get an Arctic wind way down here, but we managed to participate with the rest of the United States and get some cold weather, although we did still fare much better than many other people in the United States.
And my daughter lives in New York. She said she just came from Israel. She said, it's freezing here. It's so cold.
Yeah.
So you see, we're here again every Wednesday, 7 to 8, and you can find out with the number. You can call us
347-945-7246. Now, this is a Family Power Hour, and we're here to talk about these issues that impact our lives and share experiences. This is not an advice show. This is a talk show.
You know what, Gina? Sometimes we can give advice. Sometimes, you know, and of course, if you're going to give advice, there is no guarantee because we don't know who you are there. So sometimes people want to have, you know, a small advice or any kind of direction but it's not typical advice, but sometimes we can give a good advice. Listen, we're smart women, we can do it.
The Family Power Hour is on the Right Stream Network at blogtalkradio.com. So tonight we have an amazing guest with us who's really going to get us ready for 2014, get us ready to reach those goals, especially those financial goals that we set forth for ourselves. So if you would please introduce yourself.
But before this, the question that you tired from your old job, you're looking for a job, you're looking for a better job, you're located in your area, you don't know what to do, you don't know how to get to the interview. All these questions we have are experts.
Yes.
And welcome, Penny Maury, and please introduce yourself.
Well, as Dr. Billy said, my name is Penny Maury, and I'm a human resource expert. My company is Remarkable HR, and we help companies that might not have a high-level human resource expert on staff. We help them to put their practices and policies into place. We help them to find the best people. We help them with communications with employees so that hopefully they can keep the best people. And, of course, along the way, we have learned a lot over the years. I've been in human resources for about 30 years, and I've helped companies to hire literally thousands and thousands of people. So what I try to do for people that reach out to me, I explain, my company finds people for jobs. We don't find jobs for people.
Mm.
There used to be companies called executive search firms. There are a few left out there standing. But for the most part, the reason they existed was to put people together with companies looking for people.
Can you explain to this? That means the company approached you and you find them, the people. All right.
Well, and the way it used to be, and I'm talking about this because a lot of people don't know why this disappeared or when it disappeared, but years ago, if you were trying to find a job, you would contact an executive search firm, and if they liked what they had on paper about you and they liked the way you presented yourself, they would bring you in and actually interview you. And then they would go out and try to find you that perfect opportunity. That's pretty much fallen by the wayside. Because of the internet, because it's so easy to post a position, it's so easy for people to access positions, that those kinds of firms that were helping people by interviewing them and then going out and finding them a job, they're pretty much a thing of the past.
What you just described, is that what we used to call headhunters?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
And they were trying, they really did serve a wonderful purpose because they were trying to put great people together with the jobs that they were dreaming of.
Mm-hmm.
So many people contact me and they believe that's something that still exists, and I have to disabuse them of that fact because for the most part it doesn't exist. It does exist if you're a clerical person or maybe you do bookkeeping or accounting. You could go to Robert Half, for instance, for bookkeeping and accounting and register with them. They'll test you, and then they will be on the lookout for you. They'll try to help you. Same with companies like Ultimate Staffing here in Boca, Express Personnel.
Mm-hmm.
They will let you come in. They'll give you some tests. They'll interview you, and then they'll try to find you something. But for the most part, all the middle management jobs and the higher-level jobs, people are finding their own way. So while the big guys helping to place internationally are still there, Korn Ferry International, O'Malley, you know, Heidrick & Struggles, they still exist. But the issue is, for the most part, the people looking for jobs are not at that really top level, and they're not going to be interviewed by those firms.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to have the very best resume that they can possibly put together to promote themselves.
Let me stop you first.
Sure.
If I want to find you on your office, what's the best number to reach you?
561-477-3077.
Can you repeat again, please?
561-477-3077.
And you said something about the interviewer job. What I need to prepare to the interview? How can I write my resume?
Well, first of all, putting together a resume is, if you know marketing at all, you know it's like putting together a brochure on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so the same things apply, where you're putting down all the most outstanding facts about a business that you want to promote, or a nonprofit that you're trying to get people interested in. It's the same thing if it's you. In other words, what are your most outstanding traits? What's your history? What are you bringing to the table? Why would someone especially want to meet you? And unfortunately, a lot of people really don't stop and think how important this resume is in getting them a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Really, nothing happens unless a recruiter or a company, a hiring manager, calls you. And so on my website, which is www.remarkablehr.com, there's a little booklet you can click on. It tells you from beginning to end how to put together a competitive resume. It tells you the do's. It tells you the don'ts. And I put that article together years ago, and I've updated it a few times as technology changed, to really make people aware of how little things that they may not even realize are important can impact whether or not they get that all-important phone call. And you talked about families, and you talk about how people can interact with each other. You would be shocked at how many people hurt job seekers when they call their number and the person answering the phone either is rude, thinks it's a telemarketer right away and is rude and hangs up, or the person, if it's, for instance, myself, I've called tons and tons of candidates over the years and had a insecure wife say, "Who is this? How do you know my husband?" And then they call me.
Before that, they need to see me, and then I'm going to send
Let
you.
Let me give you the number. You
know, the best lawyer in town.
And the reason, I mean, I tell people, you know, it makes it appear that your marriage is in serious trouble.
Mm-hmm.
If a person calling you when you're conducting a job search is treated this way.
Right, right. Absolutely.
How often you get these messy,
more often than you might think.
All right. So
the other funny one is some young people looking for a job have moved back in with mom and dad. We read about it all the time, right? They moved back home to save money while trying to find their first or maybe even the second or third job. And mom and dad may not be well trained in answering the telephone, taking messages, or they may want to get involved. What's this job about?
Right.
Where is it located?
Yeah.
How much does it pay? Right.
So if the child's name is Thomas, oh, Tommy, Tommy's not here.
And I think he's already got a job.
The people didn't give the cell phone number.
This is what I advise in my article. I say if any of these, like, let's say it's a roommate who doesn't like you quite as much as you had hoped, and when you get those all-important calls from the hiring manager, the recruiter, they feel this is my perfect opportunity, and he'll never even know.
Right. So callers, if you have a business and you're looking for support from a company that help place quality people, or if you are looking for something and want some tips, we have Penny Moore here today with Remarkable Inc. HR, who's here and available for your questions. So give us a call at 347-945-7246 with your questions, or you can send us log into our chat room and give us a call, a message there.
But Penny, with your 25 plus years experience, before we're going to go, I'm going to ask a question and then we're going to go to break.
Okay.
That's what's important about the cover letter of the resume. So we're going to go back to our commercial, and we will be right back with the question, what's it reported about the cover letter?
Don't you know that every girl needs your friend and a glass of wine?
Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network. Tune in to Military Monday with host John D. Gresham, author, military historian, and journalist. John delves into a unique aspect of U.S. military history, as well as current events and issues affecting our men and women in uniform. Featuring exceptional guests, military experts, and authors, Military Monday with John D. Gresham entertains, informs, and encourages listeners to support those who put it all on the line for freedom. Military Monday with John D. Gresham. Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network. Tune in to host Daria Ann for Right Stream Tuesday. Daria Ann interviews talented authors in a variety of literary genres, from urban fantasy and historical romance to autobiography and science fiction. Right Stream Tuesday celebrates the creativity that flows through every author. It also delves into the all-important publishing and marketing aspects of writing, including the benefits and pitfalls of independent publishing versus traditional publishing, and how to effectively use social media for success. Right Stream Tuesday with Daria Ann. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network.
All right, we're back. We Family Power Hour every Wednesday, Top Local Radio Right Stream at 7 to 8. And before we go into the break, let me give you the number. And the number to call us is 347-945-7246. And the question I was asking Penny, after so many years of experience, you are an expert at what you're doing. What's the best cover letter and why it's so important? If I want to apply to the job tomorrow, to Sheena office, and I want to work with Sheena, what's the best to me to put on the cover letter?
Cover letters are pretty much a thing of the past.
Chuck them.
And I'll tell you why. Most things are done by email now. In other words, when you online and you look for a job, it tells you to click on Career Builder or Monster. You just click, and it takes your resume. And if you wanted a cover message to wherever the person is that's looking to fill a job, they want to fill a job, goes to them. However, you should have a succinct message that is tailored to the particular job you're applying for. So many people put a resume on CareerBuilder or on Monster or one of the other major boards, and they don't check it, and they send it to every job they look at, and it doesn't fit a lot of those jobs. And trust me, recruiters are much too busy to try to figure out from a resume that isn't aimed properly. In other words, it's not put together to match the job they're applying for. They're way too busy to try to figure out why this person thinks they're qualified. We get 800 resumes for a job within a few days. So we're not going to waste our time trying to figure out in someone's resume why they thought they were qualified. So I advise in my article, if you're going to have a message, tailor it Tailor your resume to a job. Take the extra time if it's important to you. I know it's hard work, but if it's important to you, tailor your resume and your cover message to the job you really are applying for.
Great. You said that the cover letter is what you have in the past. So if I'm 50 years old, how back I need to go with my resume?
Well, you know, so many of these questions, it depends. I recommend to people that go back about 10 years and after that have a kind of a summary statement prior to this date or whatever. I was doing this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was working in New York. I had 3 marketing jobs with major companies or something to that degree between these years and these years. Because trust me, the people that are filling jobs are not stupid people. They are going to figure out in 90 seconds that your first job wasn't director of marketing for a major company. They know you were doing other jobs before that. So, you know, make certain that you're straightforward. Yes, you don't have to be detailed going back to birth. And nobody needs to say that they graduated from high school.
That's a given.
Go all the way back to high school. And I say, no, we figure if you got the master's degree, sometimes you had to get out of high school.
Maybe not. Yeah, I said 50. I wish.
Billy, could you stop saying how many years of experience I have?
I have 40 years of experience. Do the math.
Very old, yes.
Sorry, Sheena.
No problem, Penny. So now, what are the tips for, what's the worst thing a small business owner can do when it comes to hiring an individual for a position at their company?
The thing I see most often, Sheena, is that they do not take the time to put together a job description.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds so elementary.
Mm-hmm.
But I talk to them and I say, do you have a job description? And they say no. I can put one together for them just listening to them for 5 minutes and send it to them in boilerplate, and then they can customize it. But the point is, it's just like, I don't know, years ago when someone wanted a computer system designed to do something.
Right.
You had to start with specifications that made sense.
Right.
Otherwise, the system you got didn't do what you wanted it to do. It's the same with people.
Okay.
If you don't take the time to figure out what they're going to do and what are the skills and education and experience required to do those things, what are the odds that you're going to find a person that can actually walk in the door and do the job that you need them to do?
So that's mean when you get 100 a resume, what catch your eye to say, oh, I want to read this and not the other?
It has to be the person's profile is very important. You know, again, in my article, I mentioned the profile, which describes the kind of person. The next thing should be their computer skills, because I don't know any jobs that don't require computer skills. And a lot of people don't put it in their resume, or if they put it, they put it at the very end.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And you see, we read the top third of the first page. If it doesn't look like the person's a fit, we click this little button called delete, and we go to the next one. Because when you're going through 800 or more resumes for a position, if the person doesn't seem to fit the criteria that you're trying to fill,
resume you need to have experience with your computer.
Just about.
That's a huge tip.
Just about every job requires it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we fill hundreds of jobs, and I can't think of more than even pick and pack, which is, you know, on an assembly line, you're getting a thing to fill, a list of things to put in a box to ship. Then you put it in a computer. It comes off a computer. It goes back into a computer that it's been shipped, and that packing slip. So even those jobs that people used to not have to have really any kind of computer exposure to do, they now require that.
And how do you support small businesses to hire people? Do you do that service?
I'm not sure I understand.
Do you provide a service to help them select a candidate?
Oh, big time. We also do skills testing, which
is
terribly important. And I warn again in my article that if you say you have a skill, for heaven's sakes, have it, because we will test.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you, but one of the questions we often ask, I'm going to give you a list of software programs. I'm going to ask you to rate yourself on scale 1 to 10, with 1 meaning I've heard of it, 10 meaning I could teach it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where do you stand on Excel? And they'll say 10, and I'll say, okay. At the end of the interview, we're going to send you skills tests 4, and before I get out of my mouth, see, I'm not a 10 on Excel anymore. Let me rethink that. And I give that slack because I understand a little puffery here and there.
Right,
trying to get their foot in the door.
Right.
They're trying to get an opportunity. But we do skills testing. So, again, I warn people, try to be as honest as you can. Don't say you have a software program you don't have, because nothing good will come of it. You know, you'll start your job. They'll expect you to be able to do something. You won't be able to do it. And they'll let you go. They have 90 days. You know, employers know about their 90-day rule before they have to, for instance, cover you for unemployment, which is a key thing. They're not going to keep you on board beyond the 90 days if you're not working out, because now you can file for unemployment
on their ticket.
So.
What about a psychology evaluation? Do you do it?
We use, there are many out there, and some of them are very good. I use one that's been around about 40 years called the Achiever, and it measures 7 aptitudes, including mental acuity, business terminology, vocabulary, some mathematical skills, number of that, you know, the perception of numbers, and then it measures 10 personality dimensions. And we use that with higher level jobs, and a little scary.
I can't send my resume to you because I don't know anything about Excel.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about computer. But I'm very good to analyze people. You know what? I need to say to do what I'm doing because I'm really terrified.
Yeah.
I don't know anything. I don't know how to tweet. So,
and you don't know how to tweet.
I don't know.
You're a special needs.
I'm special.
Yes,
I bet
you get through every day without tweeting.
I don't know. I get it. I don't know how to. That's why I have Sheena. So what's the best refill for you?
For my business, I work with all kinds of businesses, and I help them to get in good order, stay in good order. You know Everett Hill from Palm Air.
He's the best Palm Air and the best company.
He keeps your house
cool. And he's a very honest person. And just a second, let's talk about him because we all know him.
Oh, sure.
If you're looking for a good air conditioning company, it's Palm Air. He is the honest.
And very caring people.
They help us with rehab emergencies. I used him, his company, way before I met him through the network. And always just wonderful service. But, for instance, I helped him put together an employee manual.
Mm-hmm.
He'd grown to a point where, we need some rules of the road where everybody understands what is allowed, what isn't allowed, or the advisable ways to deport yourself. It just puts everyone on the same page with a lot of things. So a company like that is fine. We're working with an international venture capital firm, helping them find an investor relations person. So anything that someone needs, if it's outside of our realm of expertise, I have so many great recruiters and they have so much experience, but if it's outside of our realm, I will find them a resource and say, you know, here's someone that I've checked. I know people that have used their services, and they will be able to help you, because I never like to say, just too bad for you. If we're not the right answer, I'll find the right answer for the client.
5 years ago, a lot of people was, you know, coming to Florida from the north. What happened these days? It's the same number. It's a less number. Still people coming to looking for a job, a better place, because at the time it was very cheap to live in Florida, you know, compared to...
It's not cheap to live in Florida.
Not anymore. Not anymore.
5 years ago.
But I know, I mean, 5 or 10 years ago, people came from New Jersey, from New York.
It was less expensive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And what I urge them to do, there are sites online where you can do a cost of living comparison very quickly with where you live to where you want to live, and it will show you specifically, for instance, in Boca Raton, if you're looking for a job, if you were to live in Boynton Beach, it would be less expensive than Boca Raton, and that's commutable.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to live in Pompano Beach, you could work in Boca Raton. That's commutable. So I would tell people, look at these parameters and take a look. Make sure that moving here isn't going to end up with you being in trouble. If you're a two-income family and you're moving for one person's job, you have to factor that in, because up until recently, it was very hard to find another job here. You know, now it's turning around. We've got more great jobs than we have great people. But 5 years ago, it wasn't that way.
Do you see more great jobs? There was a special industry that you have more jobs for the other, let's say, about hotels or about marketing and about...
You mean currently?
Yes, currently.
Actually, I think the entire market is exploding. And, you know, if you read the Business Journal or even the business section in the Sun Sentinel, you'll see so many businesses are hiring so many businesses. And it's really uplifting, because when in this industry that I'm in, for instance, we're talking about the one-income relocation. People couldn't sell their houses where they lived.
Mm-hmm.
And if they came here, only one of them had a job, and the other one couldn't find a job easily. It was kind of disheartening. You know, that's changing, and I love to see the uptick. It makes our job harder to find good people because there are so many people looking for them.
Right, right.
But that's okay. I'd rather have that problem than the feeling that one gets when people are saying to you, can you help me, can you help me, and there just aren't enough jobs.
Well, you're listening to the Family Power Hour, and tonight we're speaking with Penny Mori from Remarkable HR, and she's here talking to us about the different aspects of work, whether you're looking to hire or whether you're looking for work. So give us a call at 347-945-7246. When we come back, my question to you, Ms. Mori, is can you share some stories where it has become a disaster when you put two people together, or a person and a company together, and it just was a disaster, and how you helped the company recover from
and
that.
She didn't call you, and she didn't call me.
And we'll be right back after these messages.
Remember Humpty Dumpty and his great fall? Is it possible that we all have a lot in common with him? Could he have removed his propensity to go splat? Is there anything we can do to remove our own fault lines? Stephen Lewis, the developer of a 24/7 self-healing technology, the AIM program of energetic balancing, believes that in the absence of fault lines, Humpty would have just gotten banged up, a little dirty, requiring a little detailing rather than be put back together. Instead, he broke where he was programmed to age. But unlike Humpty, we can heal our fault lines. Remove our potentials for disease instead of counting on others to diagnose or treat our symptoms. How? Visit aimprogram.com. Get Stephen's book, Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness, and join the thousands worldwide who are changing their programming and becoming the first in the history of their family with no family history.
Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, tune in to Right Stream Radio Network for Just Believe with author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvis. Lisa interviews experts in the areas of health and wellness, alternative healing, paranormal phenomena, intuitive guidance, and positive living. With her own inimitable down-to-earth style, Lisa makes both guests and callers welcome and appreciated. Just Believe with Lisa Tarvis, Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, here on the Right Stream Radio Network.
And we're back with the Family Power Hour, everybody. If you have a question for our special guest tonight, please call us at 347-945-7246. And Penny, what stories can you share with us? Well, how did you come to the rescue?
Well, naturally, no one we ever placed was a disaster. Right away.
All right.
However, we guarantee our place. However, certainly we get calls from clients who have hired the wrong person, mm-hmm. and how do they handle it? We're on call advice, and very often one of the things we're helping them to do is to either do a downsizing or to let someone go. We had a client that needed, because of a change in the law that impacted their business, without warning, they had to lay off a good number of people. And we came in and we showed them how to do it properly. We sat with the managers while they did it, helped them through it, And we had no bad fallout from that. The people understood. And I think a huge part of that is that they took time to get help and plan it properly. And people like to know you cared enough to make certain that it was done properly. We gave them a letter, for instance, that for them to take to unemployment that explained they were laid off due to no problems with their work. They could take that to a new potential employer. You know, no performance issues. This was a layoff, mm-hmm. and this is why it happened, because of this change in the law. That meant a lot to people that they weren't just summarily dismissed. You know, we're through
with
you.
Put on the street.
But
back.
Seriously treated with respect. Mm-hmm. And I think that, so we help clients that have to terminate someone, and then we help them figure out, in the meantime, what they did wrong regarding the hire. Were they looking for the wrong set of skills? Was the person incapable of doing the work? Or was it an attitudinal problem? Sometimes, I hate to say this, but sometimes we meet the client and the problem is the client. It isn't always the employee. Sometimes, you know, we talk to someone who's gone through 3 controllers in 2 years or more, and we realize that probably there's an issue regarding either what their expectations are or their management style. And then, indeed, we would call you, Dr. Bill. Come with your couch.
One of the questions, I like to hear more story, but one of the questions that go back to the interview and people that are looking for a job, do you think that most of the company rather to hire younger people, you know, because I think that when you get to age 50, 60, and you want to work, you have a lot of competition with the younger people, especially with the computer skill. That's
exactly.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So what's good advice you can give to the mature, the old people?
The mature.
The mature
people.
Listen.
Well, one thing, and you mentioned it, Billy, they have to have their skills up to date.
Mm-hmm.
And I urge people, you know, during the recession times, I was saying to people, you can go to FAU, you can go to Palm Beach State College, you can go to PC Professor,
mm-hmm.
but you need to make certain you can compete on an even playing field regarding being able to use a computer,
mm-hmm.
because most jobs require it, and you know, you're putting yourself at a huge disadvantage if you don't have the skills. Another thing is, I think, for older people, to not get discouraged that there are companies that prefer to hire people right out of school. Sometimes an older person, too, has gotten higher in salary
mm-hmm.
to a point where now they're looking for a job, and companies are saying, well, you know, we can't pay that much or we don't want to pay that much for this job. So they have to make certain that they've included in that cover email or whatever that they realize that salaries are lower, for instance, in Florida. They are.
Mm-hmm.
If you're coming from New York City...
Yeah.
This is a lower socioeconomic area regarding income, so they need to be able to convey that, or they're not going to get that call.
Mm.
People are reluctant to say, this is how much I was making, and I say, we have to know, we don't want to waste your time, but if you're willing to negotiate, if you understand the difference in what people pay here, we can put this together for you. So, but with older people, I say the skills are the most important thing. I urge my clients to make certain they really give careful consideration, because the baby boomers, no offense to you, Sheena, they have a better work ethic as a general rule.
Mm-hmm.
They just do. They the millennials.
I'm not a baby boomer, people.
That's why I did. No offense to you, Sheena. But the baby boomers tend to have a better work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to show up
mm-hmm.
and do their job. And a lot of the millennials, I mean, I have charts and
I'm
charts.
I'm not a millennial either.
This is what you expect, you know? So I urge my clients, make sure you're not pushing those baby boomers out of your workforce, because you may have to replace them with 2 millennials.
But
what about the Gen Xers?
Yeah. Sometimes I think, you know, the baby boomer, the millennial boomer, sometimes when people bring more experience, you know, they stop raising the children, have more time to commit to the job. So don't just decide that you just want to deal with the young people. That we're talking about kids.
But I think they want to deal with the young people because the young people come cheaper.
And they can control them a little bit more, as opposed to the older people who
come. They're pretty hard to control.
Then they later find out.
You have one at home. So.
I know. I have brothers and sisters that are just like, just go over there.
I just it's important to mention that you're talking about you learn to the skill for the computer and the social media, and of course the PBCC and the FU doing an amazing job. But don't forget our founder with the Right Stream, Blog Talk Radio Right Stream, Daria De Giovanni. That's what she's doing. She's doing a lot of seminar, and she's very good. She knows how to explain.
She's lovely.
She's amazing.
I met her years ago.
Yeah.
She's a lovely
She's
woman.
Amazing, and she's very good what she's doing to explain. And even I learned from her, and I understand, you know. So thank you, Daria.
If we're talking about social media, one of the things that I warn young people about, you know, I speak FAU Masters, Executive Master Firm, I say, please check what you're putting online. I'm telling you the employers check it. I've done seminars with attorneys who say that you shouldn't be checking that if you're an employer. But let's be honest, they're checking it.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to check what you have out there on Facebook, LinkedIn, so make really sure that what's out there is not something you would not want a potential employer to see. I have had potential employers call me and say that they didn't want to talk to someone because of what they'd seen on Facebook or a LinkedIn resume that didn't match the resume they had sent to us and that we had submitted to the client. It may not have been a huge discrepancy, But
it was enough
to the client.
But they're not smart enough. If you put one place, one resume, the other, another resume, so they're not as smart. But sometimes, you know.
But they might be smart in a sense where they're trying, like you said earlier, they're trying to focus it toward that particular industry.
But regardless of all the photo and, you know, the Instagram and Facebook, and sometimes, I know that you talk with somebody else, so you need to be very, very careful. I think you need to be very, very careful about this. That's why we were talking about one of the episodes was about the social media, how you can protect yourself about the social media.
Right.
If you're talking about...
I was just going to say, our lives are so public now, so we have to be really careful if you decide to participate in the social network stream.
No, this one of my patients, she told me last week that she's dating one of the dating site, and the guy gave her a phone number. She found all the information about him. So everything is all open. It's really scary. But we're talking about interview. You have your resume. You call it to the interview. What's to do the best? How you can prepare myself to the interview? What to wear? What to say?
We always provide to the candidate the website of the client that they're going to interview with. I don't tell them what to do, but if they're intelligent, they're going to do as much research on that company as they can so that they can ask intelligent questions and so that the client, the hiring company, knows that this is someone really interested in their industry. So one of the things to do to prepare, it used to be so hard to do this, and it's so easy now.
It's so easy.
There are no excuses anymore for not knowing a good deal about the company that you're going to interview with. So when someone goes to an interview and they're not prepared, that is a huge mistake because it's so easy to do now.
Yeah. One of the questions is when you have the interview, you can ask what, how, after you have the knowledge. Knowledge is power, but most of the people ask, where's the time I can ask about how much I get the salary, how much I'm going to get paid? Because most of the people, that's what they are interested in. So what's the part of the interview is say, all right, let's talk about money.
It's never up to the candidate to bring up money. It's always a bad idea.
That's a huge tip. Would you repeat it?
Huge tip, yes.
Yeah, say it again.
The candidate should never mention money. The employer is trying to find someone who's enthusiastic and interested in the job, and if they love them, they will either bring them back or make them an offer, and that's fine. We will be as upfront as we can with people about what a job will probably pay because we don't want to waste anybody's time.
Mm-hmm.
We're not in this business to see if we can waste our client's time or the candidate's time. But the issue is if you mention money or benefits, if you say, well, tell me about the company benefits, a lot of people do that, and I say,
oh.
If it's not important, it is. And we provide that information to our candidates ahead of time so they know. But the issue is, to bring it up to that hiring manager makes it seem as though that is what you're really interested in. Let's cut to the chase. Tell me what it pays and tell me what I get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, true, whether you like it or not, that hiring manager wants to know what you can do for him, not what he can do for you. And
I think the dreaded question that happens in the interview that results in the benefits is that, okay, well, we've answered all your questions. What questions do you have for us?
And you should have that list put together.
Prepare.
It's just like when you're preparing for an interview that you're making sure that you're dressed properly. Sometimes I will have a candidate say, how should I dress? And I say, dress as though you're hoping to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Dress professionally. Even if the people you meet with are dressed very business casual, it's still better if you came in looking polished. I can't tell you how many times I've had clients tell me, hiring managers say they weren't interested in someone because they didn't look as though they had taken time to be dressed properly. Now, totally different if you're coming from a job for an interview for another job and where you are is business casual. Tell me that. I let the client know. He's coming right from work. He's going to be in a shirt with the name of his company on it and khaki. If he were to get into a suit, they would know exactly where he was at.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Right.
And then the client is fine with it. But other than those kinds of exceptions, they expect someone to show up polished. And you should have a set of questions you feel very comfortable asking, as Sheena said with that dreaded, what questions do you have for us? And they should relate to the business, the nature of the business. You've done your research. You know what kind of company it is, so have some good questions prepared. Again, it shows that you are really interested in what they do.
But if you did do the research about the company, you know what to ask. So when you're sitting, just look straight to the eyes. Look very that you have comfortable and you know what you're talking about, when you're talking about. For all the listener, that you don't see Penny right now, but it looked like she came to the interview because she stopped talking to the suit. So we hire you.
Okay. Yes, and I want to get your opinion on fishnet stockings, a leather skirt that's way like mid-thigh, red top, and coming to an interview.
It would depend on the job. For certain people, I mean, if you're applying at a particular kind of company, I would say always, err on the side of being conservative and professional. I also think practicing is a great idea. Billy said, look them in the eye and show confidence. The truth is, you may have to go through some interviews.
Mm-hmm.
What I urge people to do, I send them sample interview questions.
Okay.
And then I say, sit down with a friend, a parent, a roommate. They'll go through questions. You practice answering them in a truthful, straightforward way.
Right.
And after a while, when you're sitting in an interview, I helped a gentleman who had wonderful credentials. He was from another country, and he was not getting any callbacks, and he couldn't figure out why. So I had put the time in to sit down with him, and I went through interview questions. And when he asked them, I said, no wonder you're not getting a job. You're hiding your light under a bushel.
Oh.
You're not coming forward with what you could offer them.
Mm-hmm.
We practiced for a while, and the very next interview he went to, he got the job.
Wow.
He was so thrilled. He couldn't believe. But what it was is that he hadn't ever had that opportunity to practice in this country with an interview. And when I say, this is what they're really asking, when they say this, this is what they want to know. When they say this, this is what they want to know. And then he got it. Once he got it, he got the job.
Wow.
All right.
One of the questions that over the interview would have been asked, one thing good you can tell us about you? What is your fault? I mean, and people don't know what's the right thing to do. Will you say the truth?
Yeah. Yes.
Or just try to avoid the question. So what's a good advice to you?
I say tell the truth, but put the most positive spin you can on it. I say don't every single bad thing about you.
Yeah.
I could go on and on. For instance, with myself, I always told the truth. I'm impatient. Mm-hmm. And in performance review after performance review in my life, my manager said, you're so impatient. You think people should just pick up on what's going on and keep up with it and get going and get it done. And I said, well, yeah. And they said, well, you've got to be more patient. So I would be honest. I'd say that.
Are you still?
Yes.
Oh,
and
good.
It's still something I struggle struggle with. I think I've really grown a great deal, but yes, I still would like to see things done sooner versus later, and let's figure out what has to be done, and let's get it done.
Right.
I'm so happy because, you know, I can relate it to you,
yes,
Sarah.
Yes, you can. Who are you? Who are you?
I don't know. Who are you? Oh. So it's Family Power Hour every Wednesday. And as you see, we can talk about all the topics in life. Marriage, divorce, grief, cancer, money, women, sex, and dating. And, of course, how you can find with all this topic, how you can find a job. I'm Dr. Billy Eisenberg, Lincoln Psychology and Family Therapist, and you can reach me at 561-271-7106, and you can find us at Family Power Hour Facebook page. And
I am Sheena Benjamin Wise, family law attorney, Broward County and Palm Beach. My office is located in Pompano Beach. You can reach me at 954-783-9737, or you can send me an email at sbwise@wiselawoffice.com. You can also tweet at sbwiselaw, and you can tweet Billy, too, at Dr. Billy with one L.
Billy Lee with another E. That's a new one.
Okay,
so
we got to check it out.
I don't have to.
But always call us at 347-945-7246.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
People came to your office and they got divorced, and then something happened with one of the spouses just looking for another job and have a...
Well, many times when clients come into the office, even before the divorce is done, I say, get a job. You got to get a job. Because sometimes, you know, I may have, and I'm going to use it, for simplicity's sake, I'm going to use the female, right? The woman comes in, and she's been a stay-at-home mom, and she's, you know, hasn't worked in many years, and now we're going through this litigation, and, you know, husband's not being as nice as he was before, and he doesn't want to pay for certain things as much, and we're moving forward, and, you know, it's really important to start putting your feelers out. And, you know, practicing, like Penny said, with interviews, even if it's, you know, those kind of, you know, really simple library or Target types of jobs, but it's time to, you know, put your feet down and get going.
And it's amazing that you mentioned that, Penny. What good advice you can give these women that just never worked in their lives, they got divorced, and they've been forced to find a job. And, you know, I don't think... They don't know what to do, how to apply, how to go, how to manage your time. So,
first of all, I want to say I'm the easiest person in the world to find. If you go to any search engine and put in Penny Morey, P-E-N-N-Y, M-O-R-E-Y,
my
website will come up, P-E-N-N-Y, M-O-R-E-Y, Penny Morey. It's only 10 letters. But the reason I mention that is because on my site, you can download this. It looks like a little booklet. It tells you not only how to prepare your resume, but how to look for jobs. After the resume part, there are all these different sites you can visit. So I know it's hard if you've never had to look for a job or you just haven't had to look in a long time. But it's doable if you're willing to work at it. There are also sample resumes on my site. Just click on one and just model yours after it. And again, job advice. There are tons of articles out there on how to interview and how to prepare for an interview. So, you know, I urge people, again, get the skills up as high as you can. Get them up to snuff. If you're divorcing and you know you're going to have to find a job, why not take some very low-cost courses and get Word, for instance. Every office in the world needs Word. They want you to be able to use a computer, that your keyboard skills are up to date so that you can do things quickly. Phone voice. If you're answering the phone when people call, make sure that it's professional. I advise people, don't have a voicemail that says you've reached 56100. That makes the recruiter not know if they've reached the right party or not. If you're looking for a job, don't make it so hard to know that it's you, you know. And make sure it's a professional response on your voicemail, not something that's cute for your friends. Get an email address that's professional, not yaya girl at yahoo.com or, you know, or bedbuster.
Sexy lady.
Yeah, exactly. get something that sounds professional. You can get a free one at Gmail or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, get your ducks in a row. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. We have a lot of tips, and I want just to have just a list of these. One, when you're looking for a job, have the skill of computer for social media. And when you are going to the interview, don't ever ask about the money. All the women go to a Penny website and have all the information. And don't be afraid to start to work. Don't be afraid to be over there, because you're not the only one looking for a job. And somebody going to hire you because you have any skill that you can do. I love your resume. Sheena, do you mind to read it? Because I can't read it.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
no,
uh-huh.
It's too much. You don't want it? Because I think it's amazing.
No, I'm very old.
I want to mention one more
thing, because I think it's so important. Yeah. Employers hire attitude before they hire anything. Mm. So if your resume gets you in the door and you show a willingness and an outgoing way of dealing with things, you're receptive, that opens the door more often than anything else. So I like to urge people to remind themselves, when you're going in there, hold your head up, make eye contact, which you had mentioned before, Bill, and be positive about what you can bring to the table, because employers are looking for someone they'd like to work with.
Right.
They get to see them every day and work with them. So that's
and leave your problem and your personal stuff at home. Mm. Don't start to talk about your divorce,
your
nasty
husband, and my
problem.
Your last boss that you really
hate.
Yeah.
And
you're doing great. He was the nasty one. If you ask about it, just be very politically correct. Don't tell all your story. You know, that people... Sometimes like the gossip, but it's not going to be good for you to talk about the previous job. One question that's you're amazing. I mean, you're so, and I know you for so many years, and you're really the best. But what sets your company apart from the other companies? Why you?
All of my recruiters have over 20 years of experience recruiting in all these different industries. So there isn't much they haven't seen, and they spare people a lot of time. We just helped a CPA firm find a senior tax accountant manager. He had to interview one entire person. How much time did we save that very
mm-hmm.
busy? You know, because we've so many years of experience, I have more than anyone on my team because I'm older than anyone on my team.
You're mature.
Really?
Yes.
We can't tell.
She's 25.
When you have all that experience, you can pull from that to help people avoid pitfalls. You can give them good advice. I think that sets us apart. I didn't work for one company and then decide to consult. My fourth consulting company, I had a successful company in Boston. I had a successful company in Detroit. I had one here, and then I went in with a major firm, and then I went back out and had my own company again. I kind of like operating and being in charge of my own destiny. But I will say that I think that what differentiates us is just the amount of experience and the breadth as well as the depth that, you know, kind of gives us the opportunity to do the most in the least amount of time and save our clients a good deal of money that way.
Mm-hmm. So go back to the question, what's the best referral for you? I know I asked you about...
Yeah, it's really any employer that is either struggling, not able to find good people, they're not able to keep good people.
What size of the company would they
really?
Yeah.
I've helped companies with as few as 3 and 4 employees. And then as they grew, I helped them find all the people that they needed along the way. I also kind of teach them how to do their own recruiting for some jobs, because we're not greedy, and if they would like to do it themselves, we give them tools. We give them interviews, we give them interview worksheets, we give them job posting skills, we help them along the way, and sometimes people might say, well, now they're taking it over, but you know what? They will still come to us when they've got a tough one.
When they get stuck.
And they appreciate the fact that we can take those really difficult ones and run with them and help them find those key people.
So it doesn't matter what size of is the company you're working with, a small size, bigger size, it doesn't matter. But did you refuse once in your experience, I don't mention of course name, one of the company that you didn't want to work with?
Oh, yes. I refer them to recruiters I don't particularly like.
No.
No name.
Sometimes people are very unrealistic about what they expect. or they may be very, I can tell right away they're going to be unreasonable about their demands on employees. I don't like to work with a company that I don't think will treat people well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to place someone into a situation I myself would not want to be in. So if I'm talking to an employer that doesn't seem respectful toward their employees, I'm not sure I want to put someone in that company to be mistreated, potentially mistreated. So I would rather not work. Now, it's not that I'm certainly not one of those wide-eyed, oh, everybody should be nice to each other every day. But there's a difference between an employer, if they should, an employer that has realistic expectations and treats people with respect, and an employer who does not treat people with respect and doesn't seem to appreciate what their people are doing for them. Because the biggest item in most companies is payroll. That's where they're spending more money than anything else. So why wouldn't they want to optimize the return on that investment by figuring out how to make people most productive? And happy people are more productive. They're just like those happy cows.
Oh, thank you so much, Penny. Thank you so much for being a guest tonight. Tell us one more time how to contact you and your website for our callers.
Website is www.remarkablehr.com, just the way it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And my number is 561-477-3077.
Can you repeat again the number, please?
561-477-3077. My email is Penny, just like the coin.
But you are,
But
you're not just a coin. You are the real gold. You are the real.
Thank you so much for coming out.
I enjoyed it. What a nice
time. You need to listen to the show again. You can go to the archive. Go to the Family Power Hour, our Facebook page, and let us. Can you tell us next week we have a special show from Chabad Shul that we're not doing anything for the religious, but it was really curious to talk and see how the two people decide, and one of the topics will be Sheena
will be how the Torah lightens a man to a tree of the field. And so how does our religious background and our teachings impact our lives and our families and our decisions in what we do, especially like things like divorce?
We're going to talk about family, and again, that's it's going to be very, very interesting.
Join us next week, Wednesday at 7 p.m. You can call up at 347-945-7246 at Blog Talk Radio on the Right Stream Network. And who are you? Again, this is my wonderful co-host.
I'm Eisenberg, and clinical psychology and family therapist. And you have all my information, and my co-host
is Sheena Benjamin Wise, family law attorney in Broward County.
And let's wish all of us a happy, healthy, successful new year.
Yes.
And we will hear from you next year. And thank you so much. Thank you so much, Penny. It was a pleasure.
What fun.
We want
good
you
night,
to
everyone.
Come back again, and good night, and thank you, everybody.